Come in.
Oh my god. Oh my god, it's Colby.
You have a nasty habit of surviving.
Well, you know what they say about the fittest?
Good morning, everybody. This is Young Persons Radio with me, your host, Colby Smith, right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is the only show on the airwaves where you, the listener, are guaranteed to be cooler than the host. That's right. Our number, 904-606-0842, if you want to call in and join the fun, 904-606-0842. Young Persons Radio is the first show of our Sunday block of talk shows, the first live show, I should say, of our Sunday block of talk shows here on Radio Free Brooklyn. We will be followed at 11 sharp by Points of Order, the great sports talk show. They have followed us every week since the beginning, and they are still there. And they are followed by the Stroll Show, where we interview local bands, and that is followed at 1 p.m. by Objection to the Rule, Radio Free Brooklyn's answer to the Sunday morning political talk show circuit. So don't touch that dial all day. And then after that, you know, the baseball games will start. The baseball games. Not here. You'd have to go somewhere. Now I'm advertising for you to change the channel at 2 o'clock. Don't. This is Young Persons Radio. Colby Smith here. I want to remind everybody that we now have an email address for this program, which is ypr@radiofreebrooklyn.org. That's O-R-G, org. If you are listening, it's a fair bet that you are logged into RadioFreeBrooklyn.com right now. But if you want to send us an email, do not send it to YPR@RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. I will not get it. Go to YPR@RadioFreeBrooklyn.org. And I said a couple weeks ago that I would read the first five emails I got to that address, regardless of what they say. And I did. And I've only gotten one so far. So there are four left out there. Anything you want to make me say, you could make me, you know, it's like a, like any other, anybody else. I could record your phone voicemail for you, you know, or like ask someone to prom. For, you remember a couple of years ago when Bryan Cranston was doing that LBJ one-man show on Broadway? And there was this video that went viral of a guy who got Bryan Cranston to like ask someone to prom with him. And he was like, could you say, this is what he said. He was like, Stephanie, if you don't go to prom with Kevin, I urge you to tread lightly. Which is a Breaking Bad reference. But in the video, the guy's like telling him what to say. He's like, could you say tread lightly if she doesn't go to prom with me? And I was just like, oh, like, yeah, what's the message here? It's not that, it's like, there's a cool thing that Bryan Cranston's asking my lady friend to prom for me. It's Bryan Cranston is doing Walter White and is saying, if you don't go to prom with Kevin, I'm going to murder you. We all got to think twice about Breaking Bad, guys. We got to lighten up on Breaking Bad, okay? We got to tighten it up. We got to lighten up Breaking Bad. Other news, I'm still healing from the injuries that Tim Keck inflicted on me last week. Everybody's been asking me, are you okay? Someone was like, more than one person, I should say, said that the photo of me tied up in the chair was, quote, pretty upsetting. So I know that we did our job. People liked last week's episode. I'm happy about that. I'm happy about it. Tim, you know you're always welcome here. I owe you one for bringing the old Kolb back, and he's back now. Speaking of the old Kolb, I had a big a big win a couple weeks ago. And Tim was there to witness this, actually. Loyal listeners to the show will remember that back in April, I talked about Record Store Day, which happens every year in April. And a bunch of artists put out promos and everything that are exclusive to that day to get, you know, to encourage people to shop at their local record store. And Elton John did a big one this year. Did a big one where his seminal live album, 11-17-70, was expanded with like 8 extra tracks or something. It was remastered, 180-gram vinyl. And I didn't get it. I didn't get it on the day. Did not get it. And none of you stepped up either, by the way. I talked about this with plenty of time, and none of the listeners were like, I'm going to do a nice thing. Kolb does such a nice thing for me every week. The least I could do is buy him this record and send it to him. But I didn't get it. And then 2 weeks ago, me and Tim Keck were walking to do a show. We're in Williamsburg. We got some time to kill. So we pop into Norman's. I think it's called Norman's Sight and Sound on Metropolitan Avenue. And I'm just browsing through. And what do I see? What do I find? But that Elton John Record Store Day promo release. And I'm all excited. And I bring it up to the front. And the guy, yeah, I have this interaction with the record store guy where I'm like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but you know, this is a Record Store Day promo. It's very hard to find. He's like, yeah, I know, like, we got a bunch of extra copies. Like, he was as enthusiastic about it as I was. And it was the first, like, Record Store Day employee interaction I've had that didn't suck. It's not like when I tried to go and find this thing the first time. If you guys remember from the Dr. Lisa episode where I went in and the guy was like, oh, yeah, that went pretty fast, you know, with all the other popular stuff. And then, like, looked at me weird. It wasn't like that. That was at Earwax, by the way. The terrible organization, the Earwax in Williamsburg. But no, this guy was into it, and I'm like all excited, and I come out the store, and I'm like, Tim, you have no idea. Like, I've been looking for this thing for a while. And he goes, how much was that? And tell him, and he goes, it's more than 1 month of Spotify, Kolb. So he is ever the villain, Tim Keck, ever the villain. We are going to take a quick, and I do mean quick, musical break, and then I will be back with my guest, who I'm very excited to talk to, back in a moment with Emily Duncan, and soon the music will play, and not an ad for Dunkirk. Oh, haven't we seen enough of World War II at this point? Dunkirk, back in a sec. That was The Cure. Cure. Right here on Radio Free Brooklyn with me, your host, Colby Smith of Young Persons Radio. I want to remind everybody that if you want to support the station, you can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge and kick in a few shekels, as Mark Maron used to say of what we're doing here. If you like this show, if you like the other shows, and you want to learn how you can help out, you can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge to learn more about that. If you want to sponsor this show in particular, which I, of course, welcome, you can go to rfb.nyc/YPR and click the link at the bottom of the page right next to our archive of episodes that says sponsor this show. That helps us keep some of the administrative costs of running this thing down. So that would be very much appreciated. That's rfb.nyc/YPR and click the link at the bottom of the page that says sponsor this show. I also want to remind everybody that we at Radio Free Brooklyn are partnered with our old friends, Secondhand Records. They're located right above us at 1345 DeKalb Avenue in the Bushwick neighborhood of Brooklyn. Right near, it's about a 10-minute walk from the DeKalb Avenue stop on the L train. And I was about to say it's right near the Central Avenue stop on the M train, but the M train don't run here no mo. The M train is closed for an extensive period past Myrtle Broadway. So If you want to get out here, you either got to take the J to Kosciuszko. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to say that. Everyone's excited about this bridge demolition. And look, it's exciting, but I think first there should be a massive ad campaign of how to properly pronounce the name of that bridge. And until then, I'm going to call it Kosciuszko, which is very wrong. In the meantime, my guest today, I'm pleased to welcome a guest back into the studio that does not have me tied up in a James Bond-like device. She is another one of those people who are so talented in so many ways that drives me crazy. If she were just an improviser, a writer, a stand-up, it would be impressive enough on its own. But she's also written musicals. She has a beautiful singing voice. And she's from Canada. Please welcome to the show, Emily Duncan.
Hello. Hi. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Thanks. Thanks for that lovely intro.
Yeah, I like to gush about the guests up top.
It's wonderful. I feel great now.
It's made more than one person uncomfortable.
Well, not me. I'll take all the praise I can get.
Good. Emily.
Yeah.
I read your list of credits just now.
Yeah.
You are about to unveil a number of projects.
That's right. That's true.
Where should we begin? Should we start with the Witch podcast? Should we start with the Cruisicle?
Oh, man. Oh, there's so many things. I'm working on a podcast that's not out just yet, but about witchcraft, just sort of witchcraft for beginners from comedians who like witchcraft.
Yeah. That come out of conversations you had with people, like realizing how into it people were? What was the germ of the idea?
You know what? It started because there was this binding spell on Donald Trump back in February that everyone, I saw a news story and I reposted it and a bunch of my friends were like, yeah, that sounds great. And I was like, all right, let's do this. And then it ended up just being me and my one friend because it was at midnight on a Friday, who wants to do witchcraft at midnight on a Friday except weirdos like me. But
I kind of feel like that would be the perfect time.
It was delightful because we were on a rooftop in Chelsea. It was and we had alcohol. It was we were having fun too. Yeah. But and then after that, we had such a great time doing the binding spell,
which is for our listeners who don't practice
the craft.
You and I, of course, we know everything.
Yeah,
there
you're
is
a witch,
already.
Right, Colby?
Sure, of course I am.
That's basically, in theory, what it is you're binding someone from doing harm against themselves or others. So the idea is that, you know, it's a zero bad karma kind of spell where it's just about stopping someone from doing bad to other people or bad to themselves.
Okay. Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah. And what you physically do is there's you do a little spell thing and you tie up a picture of them and you just physically bind it.
Okay.
And then there's some words you say, but it's
sure.
Yeah.
We don't want to say them now.
No. I don't want to accidentally bind anything now. But you burn some sage or something.
Yeah. You can bind the guest guidelines clipboard.
Yeah, maybe
it's right beneath.
Maybe I will. So that's the thing I'm working on. It's called Witchcast.
Yes. Yeah.
Witchcast. Yeah. What else? So the biggest thing that I'm working on right now, I guess, is a new family-friendly musical called Pluto is Missing, and it's about the former planet Pluto finding out that he's been demoted and going on a journey around the universe to figure out where it is that he really belongs, which, of course, is no spoilers, but, at home in the Milky Way.
Yeah.
That's a spoiler, I guess, but who cares? But it's going to be great, and it's going to be every Sunday this fall at the Pit.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, a weekly?
Yeah, it's weekly.
Oh, very cool. For how long?
Our first preview is September 17th, and our last show is just before Christmas.
Oh, my God. That's outstanding.
Yeah, we have Thanksgiving off, but other than that, we're doing it.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's going to be...
This
puppets.
Is like a real play. You've got previews, you got opening
I know,
night. Is there going to be a step and repeat?
Yeah, actually.
Is there really?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We talked about it. It's we don't have, we'll see. But
yeah. What's the comp situation?
I might be able to get you a comp.
Hey,
just for you. You're
look,
pressed.
I would, so yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm pressed. Yeah. No, I want to pay to see it.
I think there might be, not to give myself away, but I think there might be discount tickets on TodayTix if you wanted a half price.
Oh, TodayTix. Yeah. TodayTix has they have a big ad campaign going on right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they got all these, they took over the 14th Street and 8th Avenue subway station.
Oh, I never go there. So
right.
That,
yeah. Well, you're a Queens
I'm a Queens
resident.
Girl.
Yes.
Queens, Queens.
You live in Astoria.
I do.
You live near the
Land
Museum of the Moving Image.
Yeah, that's right.
And the QED, a place to show and tell.
That's right. That's a wonderful list of places in Astoria. I also live near Astoria Coffee. And
okay.
What else is in Astoria? There's a Subway restaurant. Subway, you know, Subway Eat Fresh.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, yeah. You don't really see those anywhere.
Right, yeah.
That was in the Anthony Bourdain episode about Queens.
That's right, yeah.
We got to go to this Subway.
You got to give this a shot. $3.81 for a 6-inch sub. That's crazy.
Imagine Anthony Bourdain going into a Subway and asking for like what the sub of the day is.
Oh, man.
It's like, do you think
that happens? Do you think he's just like...
I wonder what Anthony Bourdain's...
Because he can't eat well every meal.
Sure. There's no way.
Right?
I mean, maybe there is. I don't know.
I guess if you have Anthony Bourdain money, you can probably do anything.
If you found out that Anthony Bourdain like lived in a mansion and had like a personal chef... Would that be like a scandal? Would that be disappointing that he doesn't cook a lot?
I would not be surprised at all because he works so much. He does so much stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
can't, I mean, if anything, it's like, that's pretty nice for that personal chef. That personal chef must be pretty good at cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got the Anthony Bourdain seal of approval.
This
rather.
Is the only thing Anthony Bourdain eats most of the time.
Did you see that movie Chef?
Yes, I did.
Way back when.
I actually loved
with John Favreau.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine Anthony Bourdain's home life
yeah,
is like.
Probably.
He's always just chopping stuff up in the kitchen just because he loves it.
Just because he loves it so much.
That's what makes it Cubano.
That might be the case. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has an estranged son.
Yeah, that's right. That's Anthony Bourdain.
He takes around in a food truck.
Son, right?
Emily.
Yeah.
We like to do a thing here. Before I do this, I'm going to remind everybody, 904-606-0842 is the number
to
call in, 904-606-0842, and please do, please call. I'll be eager to hear from all of you, and so will Emily. We do a thing here that I have perfected over the course of several months doing the show, and I like to call it the Young Person's Radio Questionnaire.
Uh-oh. All right.
I'm going to ask you, we can do these rapid fire, or we can spread out with them a lot. If you have an answer that I... take umbrage with, I will say so.
Sounds good.
These are eight. I think it's eight questions now.
All right.
I have some new questions in the mix this week.
Uh-oh. New questions.
New questions. The first one.
Mm-hmm.
Bar trivia or karaoke?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. It's hard, right?
Yeah. I guess if I had to live without one for the rest of my life, I would choose to keep karaoke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's more important to just the running of my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, than bar trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, for me, I would agree.
Yeah. All right, great. Great.
Because as much as I love bar trivia, it feels like more of a hassle to organize than karaoke.
It's like
I don't know why that is.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's like you have to kind of keep your wits about you.
Yeah.
And there's winners and losers, which I don't love.
Yeah,
because I get very competitive.
Have you ever won a trivia night?
I think I have, but not on my personal skill.
Sure, you are on like a bigger team.
Yeah. Like I personally haven't won. A team that I've been on has won.
Uh huh.
You know,
the first time I did it, I was on Staten Island, and there was a group that was so big that there was a cash prize, and we all made like $3. It was diminishing returns.
Yeah.
We'll get back to this in a moment. First, we have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring him on now. Caller, welcome to the program.
Hey, Colby! And Emily, how's it going?
Hey, Tim.
Well, look who it is. It's Tim Keck. For those of you who don't know, because we get a lot of new listeners every week. Tim, there's three things you got to know about Tim Keck. Number one, he's Florida's favorite son. Number two, he hates birds. And number three, last week he tied me up and ran my show, and I had to break out and beat him to death before I could get back on the air.
And ratings went through the roof.
I don't know how true that is, Tim.
Who's to say?
Just like crime, through the roof.
How are you this morning, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. Got places to be this morning. Very excited to listen to the show. Very excited to hear Emily. But I have to say that it sounds a lot to me like you guys are promoting the use of drunken witchcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
I mean, witchcraft on its own is really pretty deadly. So,
but
you just
heard her describe this binding spell, which seems like a force for good to me.
But what if you make one misstep, one drunken stumble, and all of a sudden you binded yourself to a tree for all eternity?
You know, I worry about that a lot, actually. We did do the spell a little later than we were supposed to in terms of timing. And
well,
I was
a little
nervous
that before.
We would have caught somebody else's demons or something like that, you know? Get it in my computer.
You don't know. You could have bound somebody else.
Yeah. Mistakes can be made. But I think we used the right photo, so it should work. If I'd accidentally I dropped the photo
made.
And picked up one of my dad, then I'm in trouble. But
mistakes can be made. Yeah. It sounds like you're really lightly handling this topic of witchcraft.
Well, Tim,
lightly as in deftly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As in with great grace and skill.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you, Tim.
I meant more along the lines of, not having the healthy fear that every witch should have.
So, yeah, sort of like a respectful fear.
No, I respect. Hey, I respect.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tim, what's your problem with witchcraft? I don't like to, I'm not going to judge it here.
I don't like it.
Why?
Because it's real and it's out there and it's taken more from me than I dare say.
What if?
Oh yeah, that's right. Didn't
oh, it's
you,
taken from you.
Didn't you lose a
yeah.
girlfriend or something to a witchcraft?
Yeah, I did this this bait and switch in high school where I asked an ugly girl to the prom and then we rigged the votes so she won prom queen and then we poured a bunch of blood on her from a cow.
Ooh.
And yeah, she murdered everybody near me.
Tim, that's
well, I guess
that's
you
awful.
Could say, I guess I understand now why you are not a fan
yeah,
of witchcraft.
Makes sense, yeah.
So the idea of you tossing a couple back and experimenting with the old cauldron really freaks me out.
Well, Tim, just stay away from proms. What are you doing? Are you like are you cleaning a blanket right now?
Me? Oh, no, I'm standing right next to my air conditioning unit.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Gotta stay cool this summer.
Yeah, it's a hot one
out
there.
It's a hot one.
Tim, anything you want to plug before you go? Any upcoming shows you want to take over and ruin?
Well, I guess if anybody needs a date to the prom, I'm willing to try again.
No, yeah. Tim, I don't think you should do that.
It's been 10 years. He's ready to get back out there.
Getting back on the prom
well,
horse.
Well, to be fair, I go to prom every year, but...
You know, they say, you know, when you're getting over somebody, Tim, it's a week for however many months you were together before they murdered everyone.
Wait, I heard 50% of whatever
the rules are fluid.
Mm, interesting.
I heard it's a one-for-one exchange.
And you were with Carrie for 10 years, right?
How'd you know her name?
You mentioned her at a bar one time.
Yeah, we all saw the documentary about her.
Yeah, we all saw the documentary.
Oh. Wow, yeah. Even more importantly, don't drink in witchcraft.
All right.
And on that note, Tim, I'm going to say thank you for calling. He's jumping the gun here. Okay, we have another caller.
Did he scream no as you hung up?
No, he said Tim out.
Oh, I misheard that.
Caller, welcome to the program.
Hey, Colby.
Hey, hi. Who's this?
You're never going to guess who the fuck it is. You're going to shit a brick. You're going to be so fucking psyched when you hear who it is.
Okay, let me guess. Is this Ted Nugent?
Guess again, chump.
Are you a music person?
Oh, I am kind of a music person. If you consider food to be a music.
Food? Oh, no.
It's me, the funky pasta man, Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a...
Yeah, you've never had such a cool fucking guy on your show before, have you? Probably.
No, that's true. I mean, this is... I like to say that... you know, all the guests are cooler than the host here, but this is a million percent
cool
true.
Fucking guy.
Yeah, really outshining me here.
This is Anthony Bourdain was on
have
the line.
Ever met a, Have you ever met a chef that also did drugs before?
Me, yes. Well, personally, yeah. I know a lot of people who call themselves chefs and occasionally smoking a ganja. Is that what you do, Anthony? Do you smoke a ganja?
I do heroin.
You do heroin? Oh, okay.
I do heroin, and it felt really good in my arm.
You mean H?
It felt like light, warm magic in my arms. H, horse, those are the only two words for it. We didn't talk a lot in the heroin scene when I was in it back in Jersey in the 80s, you know, the only cool time and place.
Yeah, totally.
But guess what? Those times are over, and now I make positive books and teach people that even though cooking seems fucking lame and dumb, if you're me, it can be cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a relief to hear that cooking would be cool because most of what we get, I don't know how aware you are, Anthony, of sort of the scene that's out there now. But a lot of what we get in Brooklyn is a lot of people who call themselves foodies, and all they've really done is just got a Blue Apron subscription and have been doing it for 2 weeks.
I can't stand stuff like that.
Right?
You're only a chef if you did heroin in the 80s in New Jersey, and then, I forget the rest. To be honest with you, Colby, there's a whole lot of credentials that I apparently have that I'm kind of fuzzy on myself. But people love me. They think I'm the coolest guy.
People think you're really cool.
I'm a big fan, Mr. Bourdain.
Yeah. I mean, I was a big, I liked No Reservations a lot. I can't say I've really ventured into parts unknown, but.
Yeah, I think you were really robbed when they shut down the Taste before announcing a winner.
It was a tragedy. But people like No Reservations. I'll tell you why people like No Reservations. Because I'm such a fantastic writer.
Yes.
And I write the voiceovers like a third grader giving a presentation about a book he read that maybe he didn't read. And I read it real stilted and slow. And I make just, you know, I give it just enough of a writerly flair. Like, listen to this.
Yeah, I was just going to say, okay, go ahead.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah. Of Mexico, you know, the funkiest part of Mexico.
Go on.
And I was at this taco shop owned by a guy named Herrera Rodriguez. I know, two last names. He opened up a little taco truck called a River Dirty.
Wait, did you say a River Dirty?
A River Dirty. I mean, anyway, on the show, I said, I took a bite of the burrito, right? Right?
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
And I said, burrito, in Spanish it means little donkey, but in English, this burrito means big taste.
That's incredible. That's beautiful.
That's very good, Anthony. That's very good.
So it's a lot of like really simplistic, almost like insultingly trite little turns of phrase like that. And people just think I'm fucking awesome.
You know what I really like?
I'm the coolest kid in school.
You know what I really like that you do is, you know, you'll go and you'll talk to these. Well, I mean everything, sure. You'll go and you'll talk to these like very like high end chefs at like French restaurants, right? Then you'll turn around and be like, and then like say you're in DC, right? You'll talk to like a fancy chef at a French restaurant, and then you'll be like, but then everyone was like, you guys got to go check out this jerk chicken place. And so we went there, and then it's just like you like in the kitchen with all the dudes, and you're just like, see, I can be anywhere. I can be fancy. I can be down with the people. I'm cool.
Well, I'll explain that dynamic to you, Cole. You know, these high-end chefs, they're a bunch of malorcuses. They don't get it. They're not hip. They're like, I come into their fucking restaurant, and I'm like, give me a Duck LaRange and a Pepsi. And they're like, you're sitting at our table? Did we just hit the jackpot lottery? Did we just win the Keno jackpot lottery? They love it. They love it.
Uh-huh.
And then I go down to, you know, a bordello or, you know, some kind of like hole-in-the-wall, greasy spoon type guy with, you know, with like bikers and, you know, old, like antiquated ideas of what cool is from like 30 years ago, like bikers and disco guys. And they're like, leather pants, jean jacket, buddy, you can stay all night.
This guy can hang.
Sign me up.
Oh, man. It's, God, how do I get a little bit of what you got, Anthony?
Heroin?
Well, Colby, yes. First of all, you gotta fuck.
Okay, well, that one's out.
That's the main thing. That's the one big thing that other chefs don't do that I do.
Okay.
I'm the only one who knows about it. I'm the only one who knows how good it feels on my peener. They don't know. They don't know. And that's why they'll never be cool like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, the reason I'm calling is I did do a segment on that Subway.
Oh, you did? On the Subway in Astoria?
Oh, yeah. Of course I did. I was at Flamel, which is a four Michelin star restaurant in Astoria. And I know what you're thinking. They don't give out four Michelin stars. They broke the fucking rules for this restaurant. And I walked in, and they got on their hands and knees and washed my feet like a god, like a coming messiah, because I'm Anthony fucking Bourdain. But then I said, this place is stuffy and lame. I lit a tablecloth on fire, broke a champagne bottle, and absconded.
Whoa.
Come out of a blackout at 2 in the morning. I'm at the Subway in Astoria. And then it hits me, like, this is what these people don't fucking get at fucking Flamel with their extra Michelin stars. These fucking automaton droids, these squares clocking in, day out, sucking down the juice, going home to fuck their hedgehog wives, and just plumbing away at the malaise. Day in, day out. They know what it's like to get fucking drunk and ruin a dinner and then go eat it in Astoria Subway where the guy working there didn't have a name tag and wouldn't look me in the eye.
Well, that part I know about.
A fucking show. And then I said to the guy, yeah, I want double meat. And the guy was like, oh, you're in. They took me in the back room of the Subway. They were all doing blow and playing high stakes poker. I said, put me down for 50 G's.
50 G's?
That's a lot of money, Anthony.
And a Siberian Husky puppy. I have a Siberian Husky puppy with me. All right? I keep one in my wallet.
And you were ready? Okay.
Wallet. It's a Merce.
Okay. So you keep a puppy in your wallet and you were ready to just give it away.
Oh, I wasn't giving it away, Colby. I wasn't giving it away.
You're I wanted to get more.
Right the fuck back. Up against my 50 G's, they put their entire Subway franchise and a kilo of prime-grade horse, which you remember is the only word for heroin. Anyway, I won the card game with the royal flush. They said, you're the king. They kissed my feet, washed them again. I had clean fucking feet that night, Colby. I had clean fucking feet. I walked out of there, lit a match, blew up the Subway.
Wait. You lit a match, and then the Subway blew up.
Everyone knows Subways are filled with flammable gas.
They're filled with gas all the time.
Yeah, there's a gas leak, so the story of Subways are dangerous. I don't give a fuck, Colby. I grew up in the 80s in New Jersey. I've seen it all.
Oh, man. Anthony, please call again.
Oh, yeah? You want me to call into your fucking baby show again?
You were listening
yeah,
to it.
Your world again?
You were listening to
I
it.
I was, Colby. I listen every week. I love this show. That Kim Keck guy you got?
Yeah.
Oh, he's your Guy Fieri, Cole. He's your Guy Fieri.
I hope that is a compliment.
It's not, Colby.
What if Tim
it's
Keck,
not a compliment to him.
What if Tim Keck later in life opens a Flavortown-style restaurant in Times Square?
And
it's called
restaurant.
It's called Keck's Kitchen. And each one is a pun. Each, like, dish is a pun that relates back to Brevard County, Florida.
Why not?
Like, sizzling spaceship sliders.
Right. Countdown.
He'd be all over it because he's a malortus. He's a hanger-on. He's a deadbeat.
Wow, okay. I thought... Okay. Look. This is a guy who tied me up last week and took over my show for 40 minutes. So I'm not going to defend him.
Yeah.
But I will say that he's a good guy and you're a bastard.
Me? Anthony Bourdain?
Yeah. Yeah, you're a bastard.
Cool. I'm going to be calling to this show every week.
Oh.
And I'm going to be rocking your fucking world.
I dare you.
I'm going to be the Chipotle sauce on your ham sandwich, my friend.
I dare you to call in every week, Anthony Bourdain.
Colby, I'm going to kiss you goodnight, and I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, we'll talk soon. We'll talk. Yeah, I'll talk to you in 1 week exactly. Oh, he hung up.
Wow.
He hung up.
Colby, I want to say just quickly that you're doing a great job operating all of this machinery with your one arm in a sling.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Usually it's, if people are noticing a little lag, you know, like when that Dunkirk ad played earlier.
Right.
Then that's only because my one arm is in a sling still.
Yeah, yeah. And the other arm's, you know, it's doing a lot of work.
And I wanted to thank you for pushing my wheelchair in
this morning. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, what are friends for?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get back to the questionnaire.
Shall we?
I asked you bar trivia or karaoke. After long of contemplation, you said karaoke.
Yeah.
Since we're talking karaoke,
mm-hmm.
open bar or private room?
Oh, I actually prefer open bar, but I understand the private room impulse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that in a private room you have more of a shot of doing it more, but like a half empty open bar is the best case scenario.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested in seeing some strangers give it a shot, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're really good. Sometimes they're terrible.
Well, so it's also fun to do it in front of a crowd, you know?
Yeah. That's the performer in me, probably. I just like to be looked at. I just want attention all the time.
But, you know, if you pack out a good private room, it's a similar,
sensation.
But, you know, that we were talking about the effort before. That takes a lot of things. Yeah, it takes a lot of stars.
Yeah, it's like I could go to an open bar sort of situation karaoke anytime.
Alone. You could go by yourself.
I haven't done that. But now that I've said it out loud, I am thinking about it.
I know someone who once got a private room for karaoke just by himself. I'm not going to say who it was, but he was like, yeah, I was having a rough night. And I just thought, well, I'm going to need to do this right now. And so we went in Koreatown and stayed for like 45 minutes.
You know what? Again, I get the impulse. I see it.
I see it too.
I haven't done it.
Ever since he told me that, I've been like, man, I kind of want to do that. I mean, I need an excuse. I'm not just going to do it for no reason.
Like, wait until you're like feeling a little down.
Yeah. Save it for a rainy day.
Yeah. For when you're weary and feeling small.
It's so funny that you say that because I was going to tell the following story just now.
Hit me.
I did karaoke on Friday night.
Okay.
In a private room scenario.
Mm-hmm.
A huge faux pas was committed at the beginning, not at the very beginning, but during the night, where someone was doing a song and someone not accidentally, intentionally hit the skip button on the remote as the song was going on.
Wow.
And that opened the floodgates for other people to skip other people's songs.
No.
And the song of mine that was skipped venomously, I might add.
No, it wasn't.
Was Bridge Over Troubled Water.
No. Oh. Yeah.
Which I'd never done before. Was eager to try.
Aw.
Was eager to try.
If only you had some other opportunity to do it.
You mean right now?
Yeah, give it to us.
I've done karaoke on this show before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, me and Mary Houlihan sang Someone Save My Life Tonight.
I love that.
I don't want to give too much away, but people will get to hear that at some point.
Ooh.
If they missed it before. And then I just winked for those of you at home.
For those of you who aren't
big things coming down the pike for Young Persons Radio, guys.
I almost brought my ukulele today. Maybe I should have.
Yeah. That's another thing. I didn't mention that in your credits at the top.
I literally tuned it Friday at 2 a.m. Sorry, neighbors. And then yesterday, instead of doing any of the things I was supposed to do, I taught myself how to play I'm Yours on the ukulele.
Oh, of course you did.
Well, because it's the easiest song.
Yeah.
That's what I discovered.
How many chords is it?
It's like
three,
four.
Wow.
Most of the time.
I didn't know there was like a fourth chord in that.
There's a fifth chord that happens once.
Okay.
D7.
Next question.
Let's go.
What is the best concert you ever saw?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, where?
Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Nice. Yeah. Your hometown.
My hometown.
That's very cool to see him in your hometown.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was extra good, extra good. Because
this concert good.
Yeah. Because I wasn't planning to go, and I didn't really think that I would like it. And then last minute, one of my friends was like, I'm going, just get a ticket. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I will. You're right. Why would I not see Paul McCartney if I had the chance to? And so I bought the ticket like day of, and I went and I was, you know, in the like they just had like an open field, basically.
Oh, wow.
Like general standing room kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they had seats along the sides.
Uh-huh.
So I was in the, like in this field, and he comes out and he just started with Band on the Run. He started with Band on the Run, and I was like, I'm going to love this. What was I thinking? Not coming to do this.
Do you like Wings?
I like Wings. I mean, everybody loves the Beatles, but I love the Beatles. Yeah. And hearing a real Beatle do Beatles songs was like...
Yeah. What year are we talking? July 11th, 2009?
Yeah, it would have been.
Because
that's probably the only time he's been to Halifax.
I just looked up
No
Paul
Beatle
McCartney,
had ever, to my knowledge, been to Halifax before that. So it was also neat because all of these like older or like middle-aged women were flipping their shit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, because they were finally seeing a Beatle. Like,
man.
They still had Beatlemania.
I'm looking at the set list right now. 35 songs.
Yeah, it was a long concert. It was great. And people
That's
were like
really cool.
Smoking the ganja.
Smoking the ganja.
It was great.
I am going to see him in September when he comes to Madison Square Garden.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I envy you. It's a great show.
I'm really excited about it. Yeah. He's been doing Temporary Secretary lately.
Ooh.
But it's so... I'm going to play a little bit of it because it's super weird. And I think it's awesome that this song is getting like live play because it seems to just be like a goof. here comes a little bit of it. This is... I think it's from McCartney 2. It's another Dunkirk ad. It's playing right now.
Uh-oh.
They can't hear.
I should say, you saw the set list. Was it Band on the Run or Drive My Car? He opened
Drive My Car.
I just thought of it. I was like, oh, no, it wasn't Band on the Run. It was.
I wasn't going to say, you're wrong.
No. I mean, I know.
This is Temporary Secretary. This is a Paul McCartney song. It's not like Kraftwerk.
Mr. Marks, can you find for me someone strong and sweet fitting on my
knee?
McCartney 2.
Like, but Mr. Marks, I won't need her long. All I need is help for a little while. We can take dictation and learn to smile. And a temper.
71.
Is what I need for to do the job. I need a temporary secretary. Temporary secretary.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's so weird. And he's been playing that song every night.
Wow.
It's just like, I'm busy and want a secretary. That's a song.
Right.
Bold.
I got to say, backtracking, it was Drive My Car and it was incredible. And that's what I remember is that moment where you're just like, oh, right, I'm seeing a Beatle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What is a movie you know is bad, but enjoy anyway?
Ooh. There's a lot. I watch very mediocre stuff a lot of the time. I know, I wish I'd prepared this one. I thought I could just wing it.
We can come back to it if you want.
Yeah, circle back. I'm going to think about it.
Who is the most famous person you ever met?
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
Yeah.
That's a story.
Yeah. I worked on Louis as an intern for a season.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Did you not know that?
No.
Yeah.
Wow. That's big.
Season 3 of Louis, I was a production intern.
That's awesome.
And I held an umbrella over Robin Williams when we shot in a graveyard in the Bronx at 6 in the morning.
Did you guys gab?
Yeah.
This is the delightful episode of Louis where like their friend dies and they go to a strip club.
Yeah.
Right? Who, like, he always went to a strip club. Anyway, I'm sorry. I cut you off.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, it was, no, he was delightful. He asked me about myself.
Aw.
I didn't expect him to.
Did you get, like, did you get any weird voices?
No, he was very normal. He was like, oh, my kids go to NYU. Like, you know, like.
Aw.
It was just like, yeah. He was like, that's a good school. He was just, you know, like, he was just like, Rob, he was just like, he was, you know, when I saw him get out of the car, I was like, that's my dad. You know, like in your head. I mean, it obviously isn't my dad.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But you know, you have this, like that because you just grew up watching so much of that stuff.
Totally.
I mean, my dad's great, not to like, you know, like I have a great dad.
He's no Robin Williams.
I don't want to. Actually, my dad got mistaken for Robin Williams once in a hotel in the 80s.
Oh, do they like physically resemble each other?
A little bit. Okay. That's not, I don't think that's where that came from, but now that I'm saying it out loud, that might be on an extra layer.
Yeah, so it's both that like being familiar with him at a young age, and also he looks like your dad.
Like a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no, he was very nice. But it's like, you're just like, oh, I know you already. And then you're like, wait, I don't know you. Like,
yeah,
don't.
I know.
So I was just like, I was prepared to just like hold an umbrella in silence. But that didn't end up being the case.
Wait, right, did you feel nice. Starstruck at all? Did you
yes.
like, okay, yeah.
Oh,
of course,
yeah. I walked away like.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
This is one of the new questions. So you are setting the bar very high.
Sorry, world. Not sorry.
What is a TV show you wish more people watched? And I don't mean one like, it could be from any time. Like, just one that you wish you could talk to more people about.
Oh,
that you
all
know.
Canadian television.
Okay, okay, sure.
just, you know, it's weird being down here and just like, you know, all those cultural things that no one's seen. Because I've seen a lot of the American television, but Americans don't
It doesn't
see,
go back the other way.
Which is fine, but it would be nice. Like this hour is 22 minutes. Although I guess that's like Canadian politics, so no one would know what they were talking about anyway. But wouldn't it be nice if we all just like knew about each other? So?
Uh-huh. It would be.
Corner Gas is a great show.
Corner Gas. Is that
The Red Green Show. I'm not sure if that was made in Canada.
Oh, I know the Red Green Show.
Yeah, yeah. People from Michigan and like Maine and sometimes Massachusetts will know the Red Green Show.
What was the other one you said?
Corner Gas.
Corner Gas.
I just want to be able to talk to people about it. I reference
it. Is that a sitcom set in a gas station?
It is. That's exactly
awesome.
Correct.
That's great.
Yeah. I guess those would kind of be it. There were probably others, but those, those are.
I feel like weirdly, you know, noted pedophile Gian Gomeshi kind of made a bit of a name for himself over here. You know, before all.
Yeah,
that.
No, yeah, he was very popular before he turned out to be just
criminal.
The worst.
I feel like he would. There were, it's a lot of like he would moderate like talks here a lot. I don't know why we felt like we had to outsource that. We're at a shortage of radio personalities here. You got one talking to you right now. Invite me to moderate your panel. I'll do a bang up job. I'll do a great job. I'll go on, I'll tell some jokes at the beginning and then be like, "Eh, but let's get the panelists out here."
Well, that's a good pitch. And if you want a Canadian to do it, I'll moderate your panel. You know, Colby and I'll do it as a team.
What can Emily not do? I guarantee you she can moderate a panel.
I'm not a very good driver. I can't ride a bicycle.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You can't ride a bicycle.
No.
Do you have any desire to learn? I feel like there are a lot of bike riders in Queens. You must see them all the time.
Yeah, yeah. They're just flaunting it in front
Queens,
of me.
Queens, the home of the bike riders.
Yeah. No, I'd love to learn how to ride a bike. But it feels like it would be embarrassing to be out in the world trying, like, to be going up and down 30th Avenue, like falling off my bike.
I guess that's true.
You know, like I have to find a secluded wooded area or something if I'm going to learn.
Yeah. You go upstate just to learn how to ride a
Which
bike.
Which just seems like a big investment for something that I don't currently really need.
We are coming into the last 10 minutes of the show now, so if you want to call, get them in now. That's 904-606-0842. That's 904-606-0842. We've probably got time for one or two more if you call right now. Woo-hoo. Call with questions for me. Call with questions for Emily. And if we don't get any, we're just going to sing Bridge Over Troubled Water.
I'll be your bridge.
What was I saying earlier about the beautiful singing voice?
me.
This one I didn't even try to put in on Friday night, even though I really wanted to sing it, because if Bridge Over Water was getting fucking skipped, I knew this one was going to get too. But I watched Heathers for the first time recently.
Oh, yeah?
And
I've still never seen it.
Oh, it's on Netflix now, and it's good.
Hmm.
It starts with a pop version of Que Sera Sera that is awesome. That's just really good. And I wanted to sing that. And I lost my nerve.
What if that had been the hit of the night? You never know unless you try.
You know what I did do that was a bit of a risk was Grace Kelly by Mika.
Oh.
I got to say, I think I held my own. I think I held my own.
That's a tough song, but it's a good one.
Yeah. It's the middle. It's the falsetto.
Yeah, it's the... It's that part that's hard.
The falsetto. Emily, we got to start wrapping the thing up now.
All right. Wow.
It flew by.
Well, this has flown by.
It certainly did.
Do you have any other rapid fire questions I should answer?
The last one is going to the movies or streaming something at home?
Going to the movies.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That's my whole.
Okay.
You can wrap up. You can do whatever you need to.
Do you have theaters you particularly enjoy?
I love the one in Astoria, Kaufman Astoria Studios.
Oh yeah, the multiplex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got everything I want.
I saw the Lego Batman movie there.
Ooh, it's like never too crowded. It's you know, it's got all the movies you want to see. It's right across from the Applebee's, which has great happy hour specials.
Oh. I know exactly. I've never been to that Applebee's, but boy, would I go.
I say it all the time. Bees me. You want to go to the Applebee's?
That's so funny. Caller, make it quick. We're wrapping up the show here.
Oh, my goodness, Colby. I wasn't going to call in. This is one of your favorite pigeon people here.
Is this Margaret?
I wasn't going to call in because I didn't want to dominate in any way, you know, and I wanted to hear more of Emily because she's just wonderful to listen to, and I love hearing you together. But I couldn't resist because I met Robin Williams in a very extraordinary way.
Wow.
And so I'm actually able to talk about a few other things besides pigeons, believe it or not. And, I had a wonderful, wonderful Robin Williams close encounter.
Okay, can you do it in 2 minutes?
Yes. Well, I play the bagpipe with the NYU Pipe Band.
You do? Wait, I know people that were in that band, but we'll come back to this.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll have to return to that. And so one year when Robin Williams' son was graduating from NYU, I was playing, and I happened to be at one of the breakfasts. And so, well, I always get there early so that I can get in on the big breakfast. And so I was going through this big breakfast buffet, and I hear this voice next to me as I was loading up my plate with all these things. I hear this voice next to me say, "Yes, Lassie, it's a very important thing to have a hearty breakfast before playing the bagpipe." And I thought, "Oh, I know that
voice." He said, "Lassie."
I know that Lassie. I know that voice. I know that voice. And then I realized, yes, it's Robin Williams. And I turned, and there he is. And I was stunned, absolutely stunned. And he proceeded to go into the original Gaelic of Bobby Burns' Ode to the Haggis. And, it was just the most extraordinary thing. And then he told me that he learned that through his friend Sean Connery. And
sure.
And like Emily was saying, he's always asking about other people, you know. And so he was asking about me and the bagpipe. And I told him about my fear of going down the steps at these performances. It's one thing to go up. It's another to go down. So then he proceeded, he launched into this imitation of all the bagpipers falling down the steps and doing a whole imitation of the bagpipe and what would happen if they fell down.
So you got a little show.
Wow, wow.
You got a little show.
That sounds delightful.
I got a little show. It was very, and then he came and met everybody in the band. He went back and met everybody. Oh. It was very, very lovely.
That's a wonderful story. I would love to talk about it more, Margaret, but I have to start the wrap up now. Thank you so much for calling and getting that in before we go.
I couldn't resist sharing that. Thank
yes.
You,
thank
Emily.
You, Margaret.
You've been a wonderful guest.
Oh, thanks so much. It's nice to meet you.
Good. I'm so glad you called, Margaret. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Guys, that's another episode of Young Persons Radio in the can.
Wow.
I want to thank so much my guest, Emily Duncan, for coming all the way here from Queens on a Sunday morning just to listen to me gush about her for us.
I will travel from Queens for that many times.
Okay, good. Anything you want to plug real quick before we go?
Oh, just Pluto is Missing Again. It'll be such a great show. We're going to have so much fun.
Coming to the pit in the fall.
Pit this fall. We should have a website soon, but in the meantime, you can find it on the Pitt's website.
Awesome.
Every Sunday.
Well, I would just say to...
Hey, guys.
Another ad is playing. I got to get this ad thing under control. You can find me on Twitter at Colby J. Smith, and make sure to tune in next week at this time for my birthday show.
Ooh.
Next week, 10 to 11, right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. This has been Young Persons Radio with me, your host, Colby Smith. Stay tuned for Points of Order. We will be back next week. Here's Waxahachie. Bye.